Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you, God, that we have this opportunity to meet together here. Father, we pray that as we open your word this morning, that you would speak to each heart here. We pray that you would bless this service and that your Holy Spirit's anointing could be upon us here and that you would just minister to each heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. For a topic this morning, I want to share on something that I feel is very essential to our Christian life and especially essential in our relationships with other people, and that's the topic of forgiveness, something that the Lord has worked some in my heart in the last few years, last few months, and I want to especially spend time looking at what forgiveness is from a scriptural, from a biblical perspective. I think some of these topics that we know so well can sometimes be something we have like a good idea or concept of in our minds, but sometimes just going to the Word of God and really looking at Scripture helps it implant deeper in our hearts the actual importance of it. So, on forgiveness, when it becomes real to us is when we actually have to forgive somebody, right? That's the first thing I want to bring out here is we can have an idea of forgiveness in our minds, but it doesn't really become reality until there's something that has actually hurt us. And it's not just, you know, an easy sorry, I bumped into you, and it's something simple. It's when it's something that actually affects us maybe emotionally and when there's real pain in our hearts. And that can be whether or not the other person knows that they hurt us. Sometimes it might not even be something directly against us. It could be something indirect. There's a situation that came to my mind while I was preparing this where several years ago there was someone who had done some things that affected me kind of in an indirect way, but it was still had an impact on my life. And up to this point, I had kind of considered myself as maybe somebody, like, I can forgive pretty easy, right? But this was actually something that had a serious impact on my life, and I had always struggled a little bit with some of this brother's approach to life and just how he looked at things. And when this happened, I suddenly, it was about a year later, I met this brother in a public setting, and I had a really hard time greeting him and saying hello to him. I suddenly realized I have a problem. I've got something in here I need to deal with. And that's when I realized that forgiveness is not always as easy as what we like to think. Unforgiveness, bitterness, we'll talk about that this morning, is actually associated with serious health issues. So I want to read a quote from Johns Hopkins University. Says, studies have found that the act of forgiveness can reap huge rewards for your health, lowering the risk of heart attack, improving cholesterol levels and sleep, reducing pain, blood pressure, and levels of anxiety, depression, and stress. And research points to an increase in the forgiveness and health connection as you age. There's an enormous physical burden to being hurt and disappointed. Chronic anger puts you in a fight or flight mode, which results in numerous changes to heart rate, blood pressure, and immune response. Those changes then increase the risk of depression, heart disease, and diabetes, among other conditions. Forgiveness, however, calms stress, leading to improved health. So just even outside of the Word of God, we know a secular society knows the importance of forgiveness. And another thing I want to, before we get into a lot of scripture here, another thing I want to point out about forgiveness is the importance of forgiveness in relationships. John D. Martin said once, forgiveness is the basis of all human relationships. And I've really come to appreciate that quote. If we want relationships, and I think everybody in here, you want a relationship, right? Whether it's with your spouse, with your children, with others in the church, we want that relationship in our hearts. And it's one of the deepest needs of the human of human beings, and yet carrying unforgiveness in our hearts destroys that very relationship. So, but most of all, God commands us to forgive. So let's start by looking at the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, verse 12 to 15. Matthew 6, verses 12 through 15, breaking into the middle of the Lord's Prayer here, says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And I found it interesting as I studied the Lord's Prayer here, how the disciples' original question was how to pray. And so Jesus gives them the Lord's Prayer here, and he has this part in here about forgiveness. And then he puts this little addendum on the end about how important it is to forgive so that God hears us. That's how big forgiveness is. God will not hear us if we do not forgive in our hearts. So it's very important. Let's next go to Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. Matthew 18, 21 through 35. "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." This warning here in verse 35, I think, is one of the most serious warnings in all of Scripture, of how serious it is when we, who, can I say, are so needy, and have been forgiven so much, refuse to forgive the little trespasses that are done against us. And I say little, there may be great things of wrong that can be done against us, but compared to what the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and what we have been forgiven, it's still not much. And so you could say, the greatest need we have is forgiveness, and just to not give that as we have been given is just a great trespass against God. I'd like to talk about different stages or types of forgiveness. Write them up here. So the first stage, well, the opposite of forgiveness is bitterness. And I would propose to you that as soon as we refuse to forgive, we start down that road towards bitterness. Even if it's not visible outwardly, there's a process that starts. And the first one is dislike. First stage of bitterness and unforgiveness is dislike. And this often just starts as allowing little things to build up in our minds. You know, just a little bit of an annoyance there. You did something I just don't really like. Just rubs us the wrong way a little, and instead of dealing with that, we allow it to build. And we subconsciously start avoiding time with that person. And there's something else I want to point out. If you remember that story I gave a minute ago about having to forgive a brother that I realized I was holding something against, I think allowing dislike in my heart for a period of time is what allowed that to build and become what it became. And I think also dislike also keeps us from really building relationships in the body of Christ. I think it's one of those things that I believe it's one of those things that, as if it's allowed, especially multiple brothers or in a larger scale, you would say, it really just starts destroying relationships. And it's where cliquish and clannish behavior inside the body of Christ comes from, which should not be. The next stage of unforgiveness or bitterness is grudges. When dislike is allowed to run and it's not dealt with, it turns into a grudge. Well, it was just a small annoyance at one point, turns into they always do that. I don't like the way they do that, and I'm starting to look now for how they are annoying me. What may seem like an insignificant annoyance starts really blocking a relationship. I want to say this: carrying a grudge takes energy out of your own life. You're now that person, that thing that you dislike about that person is now becoming a focus, and it takes energy out of your own life. We can't think about that person without thinking about that grudge. And if grudges are allowed to build up and continue, it turns into full-fledged bitterness. We start to think about it constantly. We wish we could just set that person straight for once. Maybe just, you know, in our minds, just shake a little sense into them. There are a few key markers of bitterness. It holds someone else hostage to perform a certain way for us. And ironically, this is one of the things that really stood out to me as I was studying this. Bitterness can never be satisfied with the very things that we hold that person hostage for. As soon as that person would do that thing for you, you'll find something else. It's an attitude of the heart against that person. And it comes to a point where a large part of our attention is focused on that other person. We hold ourselves hostage when we're bitter, no one else, and yet we tend to do it. It defiles others. Bitterness defiles others. We're very familiar with the scripture in Hebrews that talks about many being defiled by a root of bitterness. The next and last stage of unforgiveness is hatred. And you may say, in reading the gospel or the epistle of John, I've sometimes thought to myself, you know, how could anybody in a church setting or even other settings, how could anybody ever get to the point where they hate somebody? Just flat out hate them. And this is how it happens, just gradually, step by step. If we don't deal with the bitterness in our hearts, it will turn to hatred. Let's go to 1 John 3:14 through 15. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Excuse me. When we hear of a murder case, I've had the thought go through my mind, how did somebody ever get to the point where they thought taking someone else's life is the best way out of this situation? And it's the next step. It's really the next step after this. And it's terrible, and God help us that none of us ever get there. But what I want us to see this morning is let's learn to stop this early and have good relationships in our churches, in our homes, etc. As long as we're here on this earth, we will be tempted to unforgiveness and bitterness. Jesus said, offenses will come. We live in bodies of flesh, and our carnal man has natural tendencies to unforgiveness. You cannot have spiritual growth and vitality if you're harboring bitterness or unforgiveness in your heart. You can count on that. Your relationship with God will feel blocked. Let's go to Mark 11, 25 through 26. Mark 11, 25. Actually, we'll back up to verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye say in praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. And just once again here, we see Jesus really place a lot of importance on forgiveness. Forgiveness in the church, I think the real burden that was on my heart when I had prepared this was how important it is for a church body to be able to flow together, or how essential forgiveness is for a church body to be able to flow together. And I think... you're a little larger than we are here at home. I think the larger the brotherhood, probably, the more opportunity there is for that and the more there need there is for forgiveness. Pride will not forgive. If you have pride in your heart and you become offended, and more the pride you have, the more quick you are to become offended, it is going to be very hard to forgive until you lay that pride down. It takes humility to forgive. I want to point out something else. Forgiving someone does not mean that we just try to ignore the hurt. We acknowledge it and deal with it and forgive it in spite of the hurt. Three components to forgiveness. You choose to release that person from any expectation of them apologizing, whether or not they have apologized. Forgiveness is in your own heart. The second thing is you choose to give up any right to revenge. That is one of the most common things with unforgiveness is I want them to do something for me, but we choose to give up or to get even. I want to get even with them. And we choose to give that up when we forgive. It's a natural tendency to want revenge. And the third thing is we have to choose to love that person as Jesus loved them. That's the only way we will keep from sinking right back into unforgiveness and the road to bitterness. So I just want to leave that with us this morning. As Christians, our forgiveness needs to be rooted in how we have been forgiven. And that's something that has really helped me in my journey in this is when I've been offended or someone has done something against me, I just have to remember what I have been forgiven. And all of a sudden, it makes it a whole lot easier to forgive. Let's go yet to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. We'll read down through verse 14. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. And as we see this beautiful picture of God's forgiveness to us and his mercy towards us, let's exercise that kind of love and forgiveness to all those in our life. God bless.